I've done no harm, I keep to myself. There's nothing wrong with my state of mental health. I like it here with my childhood friend. Here they come, those feelings again. Who can it be now?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the
Snooze Show.
Creator of the How Weird Street Fair here today, and I started out with a little 80s track because I think we're going 80s in a certain weird version that you guys would never comprehend at the How Weird Street Fair next year. Give it up for Santa.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Stu Show. That is me welcoming myself back and letting you know that the 20th anniversary of the How Weird Street Fair will be next spring, 2019.
We might even put out a second batch on the side of Santa Cruz.
There's talk about doing that too, mate. Fat income.
Fucking 13, 14, Australia.
Service. Score.
Let's play 13, some volleyball, 40. People. No, alright, so, we're gonna get a little deep. We're gonna go into some brain knowledge of Ole Mastroianni. Called Santash. Let's talk about what you've been learning lately about your radio show and stuff. Give the audience a little flavor.
Yeah, I'm the host of the Esoteric Circle on Revolution Radio and Late Night in the Midlands and Facebook Live, where I capture video. And it's mainly to record audio chapter for audiobook. To read chapters from my book, Future Esoteric. I already did Modern Esoteric. And interesting to have different subject matter every week. I just do it once a week. I got to head back down, do it tomorrow.
Let's talk about some of these interesting subjects.
So, right now, the last one I did was called Structures on Other Planets. Mm-hmm. About the monolith on Phobos, the moon going around Mars that Buzz Aldrin spoke of. Mm-hmm. Another monolith that has been photographed on Mars.
Let me just ask, as well as other anomalies. Do you think people are actually going to live on Mars, like human beings from planet Earth, and moving there?
Well, they can if they're wearing suits that have oxygen.
I'm
and
saying, do you think in bases that have oxygen?
Not in the same kind of consciousness that you're in. Maybe they have a curiosity of space or already work in certain programs, and maybe it would be appealing to think about going out there for 10 years.
I've heard women and men talk, serious astronauts, about, hell yeah, I want to go there. And yeah. I'm like, wow. Sounds a little intense.
Well, maybe some of those structures on other planets are very, very old as well, perhaps dating back even millions of years, such as the face on Mars, which is in the Cydonia region of the northern hemisphere of Mars. What? And there's also a whole area of pyramids in this region too.
Explain to me the Cydonian region. What is that?
Cydonia, spelled Cydonia. Mm-hmm. It's a region named after a certain area in the middle part of the northern hemisphere, latitude-wise. And it was photographed by the Viking 1 in 1976, and that's when we got the famous face on Mars.
Right.
But it turns out that whole region has a lot of very interesting features, such as pyramids, including a five-sided pyramid, and other ones in a complex called the City.
If it's five-sided,
and the City is not far from the face. Say again?
If it's five-sided, is it still a pyramid?
Oh, sure. You can make pyramids with three sides. You can make pyramids with five, six, seven, eight sides.
I thought all pyramids were three.
Well, the more sides you give it, the more conical it becomes. But there are five-sided pyramids as well as three-sided pyramids.
Okay.
Not just this typical four, but there are some four-sided pyramids in this Cydonia region. So that's what we talked about last week, as well as some strange things that are happening on the moon, including what looks like excavation or terracing, terraforming the surface of the moon. I find it an interesting subject. It's in a chapter in the Cosmos section of my book, Future Esoteric. So I'm reading a chapter each week. Now, next week, we move to Utopia and the final section.
I heard a few days ago, and I wasn't aware of it. I didn't really know how far advanced Japanese, you know, the Japanese, Japan, I didn't know how far their rocket ship space technology went. They're planning on sending out a trip this month, something like 5 times the amount of miles past the moon to some other place. Like, have you heard anything about that?
500 miles past the
moon? No. 5 times as far as the moon. They're going way the fuck out somewhere.
So between moon and Mars?
I think, I don't think it has anything to do with Mars.
Out of our solar system?
You didn't hear anything about Japan this next month sending some...
Oh, probes. The one I heard last week.
There's any satellites.
Well, I talked about this on my show last Wednesday, and it just happened a week ago. China just upped the schedule, upped the point where they were going to send 2 manned, well, not human, but AI probes that are like rovers to the dark side of the moon this December in 3 months. Now, it's a matter of what is China going to tell us about what they find and if they are going to be fully transparent, because this could also force disclosure. Right now, we're talking a lot about what could force disclosure of ET reality on the world. Another one is in Antarctica, this 3 mile across craft in the ice that is so massive they can't get it out of there, and the snow keeps melting around it. And it's just a matter of time before this becomes common knowledge.
Who has the who's got the satellite that's like the farthest away from our planet that takes pictures of Earth every 10 minutes?
There are many satellites in orbit.
Way the farthest one out. This is like so far and it takes pictures of, and it's like this.
Yeah.
For all those round earthers out there, you should look at these photos.
It's because all the planets are round balls, and so is Earth. So it's just silly to even entertain such nonsensical notions. It's just a way to divide the conspiracy research community with utter nonsense and arguing about something that takes up our time when we could be going into other interesting endeavors. And I'm sure Max Stone has some opinions on this. Should we try to call in our first listener?
We might be able to get him on the horn, but let's keep going.
Okay. Well, Max Stone does some work for CCC Publishing, helping with book design. And we got a new one that should be shipping this week called Invisible Master by Leo Lion Zagame. And he has done a really great job describing how the Illuminati and the moneyed elite, the royal families, have been using fourth dimensional entities on their behalf. But as we know, making a deal with the devil, you do usually get burned. So here comes our first listener.
Well, we do have a guy here from Austin, Texas. Thinks he knows a thing or two about something. Who's on the line here? Who do we got?
You know a guy here. We got Max Stone.
Stone! What's up, Stone?
What's up?
You guys showing the show?
How's Texas treating you today there, buddy?
Oh, we're in the 90s, so it's really nice and pleasant. No longer 100 degrees.
90? Dang.
93. Yeah,
that's a good
cool
day to go to the river.
Did you guys have lightning and thunder?
Yesterday,
that's what I thought.
So I got a question about Austin.
Let's get back to the show here, Max Stone. We want to get you on a hot topic that Brad's been bragging about.
Santosh. No, I'm just curious. Have you found the Baker Beach of Austin yet? Like, we found it at Twin Lakes in Minnesota, and I found a good one I'm hanging out with at Santa Cruz. Have you found the Baker of Austin yet, where people go commando?
Oh, there's no, well, you got to go way out of town to go commando.
Yeah, no. Do your balls hang low? Do they frolic to and fro?
Not even along the river there? I thought there was a couple spots.
Not that I've found. I mean, the one thing that's true, but it's not exercised, is they have no law against going topless.
No law, okay. Well, that's
no, so men or women can go topless. The thing is, there are no women that go topless.
Right.
All right, now, beyond topless, I thought we were on a hot topic that you were just talking about that you want to have Max's input on.
Oh, yeah, well, about Leo's new book, Invisible Master, and how he makes a very strong case that the elite, Illuminati, royal families, spy agencies have been using this invisible master, which becomes this fourth dimensional ET entity, basically, over the course of many centuries. So probably many have been invisible master, but maybe still about a dozen over the course of a century. However, he makes a good case in the book that they have been able to use the fourth dimensional aspect of the aliens to use for the elite's benefit, and also now the spy agencies, but starting with John Dee during the Elizabeth era. So I just said Max Stone knows about it because we just worked on this book together. And do you have any comments on Leo's new book, some of the content that you got a chance to check out?
Well, I only read so much of it. You know, I'm looking forward to reading the whole thing. You know, so I really haven't gotten to its conclusion. As far as that's concerned, you know, that, you know, people believe in aliens, but I don't, because I think they're all demons. I think the fallen angel theory is really what I go with. So I pretty much believe that all demons are all aliens are demons in alien garb.
Yeah.
With the exception that, I don't know if you saw, but over Korea, there's a Japanese guy took a film from a plane with this huge towering, it looks like the Washington Monument that was floating above the clouds in Korea. You got to check that out. It's online right now, and it's just very bizarre. Looks like a
bizarre. Let me hit you with this. Because I don't think we are that intelligent, but I'm like, do you think that there's other intelligence in the whole fucking universe? Like,
I hold to the biblical aspect, you know, whereas
the Bible, you know, the fuck.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, oh yes, yeah, it's so not trendy now. Everybody thinks it's not trendy to believe in the legitimacy of the Bible, everybody's so rebellious, but everybody's acting the same way. No, right. The Bible is the guide, man. It's the word, and it's the greatest story ever told. People think it's some kind of Puritan going back, and all it's going to tell you is bad rules. But if you really understand what the story of the Bible, I mean, there's no drama that's ever been produced in Hollywood greater. You know, so it's like it's actually an amazing document. You know, and so far as the universe,
according to my knowledge, there was two guys that are famous through going through this world, telling people to just be nice to other people, and that was Jesus and Martin Luther King. And what happened to those guys? Oh, they both ended up dead.
Well, I mean, you have Ezekiel, you have these other people, you know, historically, and the such, you know, but yeah, of course you're going to end up dead because, you know, Satan is the ruler of this world.
All right, so on that tip, with Satan the ruler of this world, and how does that apply to Leo's book? Because I think we're talking about the same thing, but just using different terms.
But
are the fallen angels, in your opinion, and how do they intercede on behalf of the elite?
Well, one third of the heavenly host, and the Satan isn't, you know, the most beautiful and the best
no,
singer.
No, we don't
in the
know. That's why we're asking.
He
yeah,
wants
well,
you, to
you know, they're interdimensional, and so you know when these guys have been doing these rituals and bringing forth demons, like Aleister Crowley and who's that one guy that did the. There's a movie coming out about him. The guy that was in the Rocket Program. I wish I could remember his name. Anyway, what is that guy that Aleister Crowley brought forth? That great, the first great alien.
Yeah. Lamb.
Crowley was a bad man.
The wickedest man in the world.
Okay, these are visages. This is how they appear. But you know, when you talk about the technology that the Nazis had, that was given to them by demons. You know, demons have, you know, they understand. You know, their interdimensional knowledge is much greater than humans, so they understand all these principles. And so technology is a build-on thing. You have to build two things before.
What about reptilian?
That's just kind of a physical manifestation of demons.
Like a shapeshifter.
You got so much more going on. You have the angels that had sex with human women, and they begat giants, you know, the Nephilim. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that's gone on that we just basically are unaware of. But the Luciferians, you know, they understand that through their rituals they can connect to entities and bring entities forth, and those entities give them knowledge. And they use that knowledge to forward their own interests.
Okay.
So the majority of the high technology.
Right. Let Brad ask you a question.
So then who would you say are the invisible masters?
Well, the invisible master is Satan himself. You know, and here's the thing that's really interesting about the demonic world is they're like Borg. You know, remember what is that, Star Trek or Next Generation? They have Borg. They're all interconnected. They have a universal consciousness, and they're all directed by Satan's mind, essentially. And there's also something that's really interesting about demons and Satan himself is he has no free will. He's on compulsion. If you open yourself up to sin, Satan has to come. He has no choice not to come. If you want to sell your soul, Satan has to arrive to buy your soul. He cannot not do what, so evil does what evil must do, yet there's no free will there whatsoever, but they act as Borg, they're all one mind.
All right, so hold on, guess who's here from Cambodia?
Steve Howe!
Max!
Steve Howe!
Max, please!
Really?
Max, please!
Only Max. Thor!
Only Thor can pick up the hammer!
Hey, dude, the Bible is the greatest story ever told. People think it's boring, but when you really begin to understand it, you understand that the history of humankind is...
people that you hang out with think it's boring.
No, the entire country thinks it's stupid and boring because most people don't want to follow Jesus because they like sin. They like sinfulness. You know, if you take the message of Jesus in the New Testament, it's only love, it's only it's only brotherhood, it's only compassion. That's all it is. His entire message is a positive message. People don't want to follow.
On a lighter note, what'd you do yesterday for Labor Day?
It was raining here, so I enjoyed the rain, stayed in and read the newspaper and that kind of stuff.
What newspaper do you read?
Oh, the Austin, what is it called now? The American Statesman, but they've been taken over by
the Austin American Phony.
It used to be better. They just sold out to another company, so now we've basically got the leftist propaganda, the Associated Press.
Of course it is.
All right, so hold on.
All leftist propaganda.
Mr. Santosh, what is the best paper in the United States of America?
Oh, I subscribe to the Austin Phony, but I also like the Dallas-Fort Worth Fake News, and I also would subscribe to the Houston Falsity news.
That's a good one.
Yeah, like Houston that. Falsity is a good one, too.
I don't subscribe, but Santosh gives me them after he reads them, and I like that.
Yeah.
It's got something my body needs anyway, calcium.
And I like that.
And I like that.
Fake, false, and phony. Yeah, they're all kind of the leftist perspective. It's hilarious to read it now when you can just see so clearly what the agenda is, trying to cover for the cabal as they're in their death throes.
Stone.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's go way, 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 way back. Freaking me and you and Santosh were on a road trip, right? And we somehow end up in Vegas, and we were heading to Utah, but like. At the end of the night, Santosh comes up to me and he's like, dude, I just spent my last dollar. I'm going back to the hotel room. I got my key. I'll just see you guys up there. And I went, oh, fuck, dude, here. And I just reached out and gave him a dollar. And I said, here, dude, have a dollar. And he put it in that slot machine and the fucking bells go off, this, that, the other. And fucking he won that fucking red Jeep. Remember that?
Oh, the red Jeep.
Yeah, you remember that? Dude, yeah. He drove it to the Grand Canyon. Fucking, there's three of us. Fucking, the next morning, we get up. We're, like, camping. You know, we don't even have a tent. We just have sleeping bags and shit. And the fucking car got stolen. Next thing you know, we're like, we could be calling the cops and trying to find this brand new Jeep that just got stolen. But we're like, well, we want to go to Burning Man. And Santa's like, let's just hitchhike there. And we're like, that's a good idea. Just went on our thumbs. Next thing you know, some dude in the SUV picks us up. We start fucking cruising. The dude's super cool. He gives us a ride all the way to the train tracks. What was the town where we sneak in at Burning Man?
Gerlach.
And Gerlach. So then we sneak into Burning Man, right?
Right.
We were there for like 7 days. We were like there for a week. That was super fun. But then we hooked up with those chicks and they fucking bought us plane tickets to the Bahamas, dude. That was an insane trip, bro.
That was awesome. That was great.
That.
Never did figure out what happened to the red Jeep.
I think it was recovered and I think Santa's sold it and just took the money, and then I know he drives a brand new VW Bug now, convertible, but I don't know.
All right, well, here's my take on this whole Stuth story. He knew the tale of us going down the Grand Canyon in a boat and then taking 7 modes of transportation in one day to get on our way to Burning Man from the floor of the Grand Canyon.
Bang!
And first it started a boat from our campsite to go to the helicopter pad. You remember that?
I'm on a boat.
Yeah, the helicopter was
on a boat.
And then, but that was briefly.
In a box.
Because then we were on a helicopter to go to the airstrip, come out of the Grand Canyon to get to the airstrip to fly us to North Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was already 3 modes of transportation, and then we took a bus out of Vegas Airport, and we got to close to the freeway, and
Vegas.
Then we caught a couple of
hitchhiking
rides. What
happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That got us halfway to Vegas with that guy, halfway to Burning Man, because that guy's like, oh, hey, I'll kick down for your room, and he gave you and me a room.
What happens?
And then the next day dropped us off at Greenlee and we hitchhiked to Gerlach and then walked in.
What happens to Max Stone's penis in his pants stays in Max Stone's penis in his pants.
Now that we got that clear, Stone.
Oh, no, that trip was outstanding. I mean, the fact that guy drove us right up to all the way to Gerlach before we busted in. And we're among the last people, I think, that actually got into Burning Man for free. And with your epic 10 times and my epic 6.
Yeah, we pulled it off in the early years.
When we were on those train tracks and we were sneaking into these guys' cool-ass party, I was like this. What would Jesus do?
Walk right in. He'd walk over Playa Water and go right in.
Jesus.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem. Well, now everybody's driving home today and yesterday. The burn just happened last weekend.
Dead. I suppose. No, that's the way you look when you're drinking a 40-ouncer. That's your sip pose.
Hey, did you hear Larry Harvey, the founder, he died a couple months ago.
So, oh, no, I didn't know that.
A big homage to Larry this year. They put up hundreds of drones. I think it was like 400 or 600 drones all lit up with lasers. And then people were saying that was the spectacle of the burn to see that on Tuesday night, which was like an homage to Larry Harvey.
R.I.P.
Larry Harvey.
Talk about spectacles.
Yeah.
So let's get into it real quick.
What?
They started that at Baker Beach, right?
Check.
Baker Beach in San Francisco. What year?
86.
And then when did they move to the playa?
90 or 91.
91.
Yeah.
We hit it at 95.
Yeah.
Is that your first year?
Yeah.
Oh, man. 95. No cops. No nothing.
Yeah.
Just a huge party in the desert. Now I hear stories about it, and it's like, it's Bernstein. You're not allowed to burn anything. And I'm like, wait, what?
No more free-for-all burns anymore.
Oh, hold on. I got to go, Max. Hello, next caller. You're on the show. Who's this?
I'm on the show already?
Yeah, we're live. We were just on the phone with a friend of ours, Max Stone, down in Texas. We are going to...
Wait. I'm coming after Max, or was he the opening act?
No. We got...
Hey, Santosh.
Yeah, that's the opening act. It's me and Santosh. But you're up. Can I put you on the air? Who's the next caller?
This is David Templeman calling from Vermont.
Oh, we got a caller all the way from Vermont. Nice.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, Santosh. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Joining
the
Stu Show.
Is this Stu Show going to exemplify the best of the Stu Show?
Well, we're going to give it our best shot. Let me ask you this, because we were just talking about Burning Man. What was the first year you went to Burning Man?
I went a year after you guys went. I went 96, you guys went 95.
But 96, there
we
was
built
still...
the Burning Alien.
In 96, there was still no cops, you were still allowed to burn stuff, and there wasn't, a gated community.
That's right. And Santosh, you're right, that was the year of Burning Alien.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was fun.
Yeah,
yep.
And then you realize this was the 20th anniversary of the burning UFO that us three built
really?
The stuff on. Yeah, 20
right.
years ago, man.
I was in India that year.
That's right. That was the year you went to India. In Ladakh.
Yep.
In Ladakh.
Yep. And then the following year was 1999, and that was my last Burning Man because
I
felt by that point it had become quite mainstream.
When you went to India, did you stay in a really pretty dope place with caves with Dara?
No, I hooked up with Dara in Vashisht and went to a party at his house. And but at that point, I was staying at a guest house in town.
Oh, okay.
And then the cave situation was in Dharamsala, actually, outside of Dharamsala, in the mountains above Bagsunath, which I believe is called Triont.
Give us a little bit of data of your trip to India.
Wow, man, that was a long time ago. That's old news.
20 years.
Yeah, I think probably one of the more incredible adventures I had in India was going to Kashmir, to Srinagar for 2 months and living with a family on a series of houseboats on the Jhelum River.
Oh, that's awesome.
Most of the houseboats... I'm sorry?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And I'm still in contact with that family. In fact, I wrote them a note yesterday.
Wow, that's pretty cool that we're talking about it right now.
Indeed.
So, at your farm in Vermont, how many turkeys do you got?
We don't have any more turkey. That was last year. that's a one-year process or a six-month process from the time you get them as
well. You don't have it going all the time.
No, I did it last year because last year I didn't have the sheep. right? Like, I didn't get the sheep until the fall of last year. And for the spring and summer, I worked on the turkeys. But I'm not going back to turkeys.
It was a lot of work for not that much money?
It was a lot of work for what potentially is a very expensive product that's hard to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I had all of them sold, but at the last minute, I had 50 canceled, and that represented my entire profit. So basically, I worked super, super hard and ended up with a freezer full of 50 turkeys as a reward.
Shit.
Oh, man. Well, nice gifts for people, I suppose.
It's never cool if someone puts in loads of hard work and then it doesn't pay off.
Yeah.
I mean, if you
it didn't. You know, I got enough money that it paid for the cost of it, but the
but still, the profit is why you were doing it.
Indeed.
Well, that's a bummer.
Indeed.
So, you can make a profit off the sheep.
I can. In fact, it's more prone for profit because it's a lower cost. Animal to raise.
Uh-huh.
You know, they eat grass. All they eat is grass.
Yeah.
And grass grows for free on my land.
You betcha.
Whereas the turkey require high protein feed. And
you have to go buy the food.
Right.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
So it's all about inputs. You know, what are the inputs? What are you putting your money into? And with the sheep, there's not a whole lot. I have to shear them twice a year, so I have to pay somebody to come on farm and shear them.
I just think it's kind of funny that we have Shinichi and Santosh on the show. The day we all I think you had maybe worked 1 or 2 days before me or something, but I think you just started working for Jesse. And then I got a job, and then, like, he's like, yeah, you're going to be working with this guy, Brad Santosh, da-da-da, you know, like, and then we all hooked up, and then we worked that day, and then we went to the park in San Fran, sat there, and I think we drank a brew, and then...
The day Jerry Garcia died.
Me and you start walking up toward the hate, and all these people are crying, and you're like, something is weird is going on, and I'm like... What? What are you talking about? And you're like, look, everyone's crying. And I'm like, we're in like lower hate. And then by the time we started getting to upper hate, it was like, okay, you're right, David. Everyone's crying. What's going on? I had to ask someone. And they're like, Jerry Garcia died. And that was pretty much the day the CCC took over the psychedelic challenge.
Well, that was actually in August. But I think I met you guys, definitely in 95, summer of 95. And I met you first, Dave, and just one or two jobs. And then we picked up Stu, and we did that apartment on Alamo Square. And I think that's when Jesse's can of paint spilled and left a trail all the way down Hayes Street.
So
and then we gave him the name Jesse became Messy.
Right.
But he's a great guy.
Oh, poor guy.
He brought us together. That was fun. But then Stu came to Burning Man with us that year in 95. Because you got
That's
on with
right.
Rachel's boyfriend. And then we put the alien together in Max Stone's old office in 96 and drove it up. With Brian of Darkness, 20 years ago.
I don't know if you know this story, David.
Oh, no, that was 22 years ago.
But me and Santosh know it pretty well, but I'm going to ask Santosh to try to tell it. What happened to Alec when he was in India?
Which,
oh, that's a great story.
The guy who ran over the mountains. He was like...
Let David tell it.
He was a guy who would jump off cliffs with wings on and... fly for loads. I know Sky would do it too.
You know, I don't know the story all that well, but I do know that Alex had had attached himself to a sadhu guru guy that was kind of manipulating him a little bit. And I guess in the end, it turned out he was working with local police and they were going to frame him for drugs. And the whole thing was set up and they were going to take all of his equipment. As a bribe, you know, his parasail and his hang glider. I mean, he had thousands of dollars worth of equipment there.
Yeah.
And then the whole sting went down where they were going to frame him, But instead what he did was, I guess he got smart and knew what was happening and just ran. And I guess he was in the mountains at the time, barefoot, and he ran over the mountains and into Nepal, I believe, to get away.
Wow.
How far do you think he ran to get away from the Pope?
I don't know, but, I mean, the guy was burly, and the whole thing sounds totally crazy, you know, barefoot over mountain trail.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Bro, I know it happened. I talked to him after. It was burly. He was messed up from that, dude.
Wow. Okay.
But, yeah, that did happen.
Yep.
Funny.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy kind of dropped off the radar. I haven't think I've ever seen him since.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I wonder if Rachel knows where.
Yeah, she would be the only one.
Rachy.
Yeah.
What about little Kate?
She's on the East Coast out here, I think, in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
She came out for How Weird last year.
Oh, cool.
I gave her a job to be a greeter at the gate, but I saw her dancing in front of the trance stages more than I saw her at work.
Yeah, of course. I know that one. I remember doing door at CCC and, like, having one of our housemates take over only to see them on the dance floor 15 minutes later.
Pretty much the way it went.
One time I'm working the door, like, someone like Jeffrey or someone came up to me and they're like, "Hey, man, it's your turn to work the door." And I'm like, I was dancing, you know, I'm like, "What? Okay, the door. I got it. And he goes, "These two dudes are going to go with you." And we sit down, and I am flying high, dude. And we're just staring at the door in front, sitting on the front steps. And I look at these guys, and I'm like, "You guys having a good time?" And they're looking at me like, "Huh?" And then one dude looks at that guy, and they're like, "You guys speak English?" And they both shake their head, "No." And I'm like, "So we don't have anything to talk about." And they're like, "Don't know what you mean," shaking their head, "No." And I pull out some hash. I'm like,
you guys understand that?
And they're like, "Yeah." I start shaking their head, "Yeah." So I just sat there with these dudes that can't speak a word of English. And fucking burned it, fucking split. And no one ever came to the door. And finally, we got relieved by someone else. But that was my door experience at the Trip C.
Well, yeah,
you had many other experiences, Dave, because you lived there, and we all had to take a turn.
When David and I were working at night for a while, you would come home, and you would be like this. "Yeah, the $300+ a month that I pay in parking tickets is part of my rent to live here, because I can't park anywhere except for where it's illegal, and I'm going to get a ticket, but I just chalk it up to as part of my rent."
Yep. In that year alone, I think I ended up with about, it was more like 200 a month.
Wow.
I think in that first year it was $2,400. But if it were in today's parking ticket fine amounts, it would be more like 8,000.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're not there anymore. The city of San Francisco just started hiring people for this new job that they just created. And I'm like, "Oh, working for the city of San Francisco, I'm kind of looking for a job right now. What are you guys offering?" "We need a crew of people to put on hazmatic suits and clean up human shit."
Oh, great.
I'm like, "Whoa,
and how much does that pay?
I can't wait to come home and tell my son how my day at work went."
"And how much does that pay?"
I'm all, "Not shit."
I wanna know,
man. No pun intended.
Is that like a $75 an hour job? It better be.
Well, you better pay me a lot more than that.
Picking up needles.
Yeah.
Yay. That's gross. Oh, well. Yeah, you don't have to deal with that in Vermont or parking tickets anymore.
Well, I'm rolling in sheep crap right now, so it's a little cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rolling green hills of Vermont. Yeah, I've been there. It's beautiful. You going to get a ski pass for Killington?
You know, actually, Killington is further away from us than Jay Peak and Burke. Last year we got season passes, but you know, the weather out here, the skiing, there's some really good days, but then most of the time it's kind of wet and slushy and not so great. So we ended up getting season passes last year, but it didn't even pay for itself because,
the conditions,
you know, we
kind of
wanted to save it for the good choice days, and it didn't work out.
It's not quite as Park City, Utah, or Colorado, Aspen, those kind of places.
Well, it's all elevation. That's what it is.
Jackson Hole, all that shit.
Yeah,
it's
lower elevation, but it's also hot, you know, closer to the pole, so to the Arctic. So, in fact, it's still as cold as, like, the Sierra Nevada here, even though it's lower elevation.
Oh.
I just bought a double-decker huge house in Whistler. No,
decker.
I didn't. No. Uh-huh.
You mean a duplex?
That's a good question.
A double decker. You know. House on top of the house.
How often do you get to go up to Canada?
Well, I've crossed the border, I think, last year, 1,000 times.
Oh, my God. Several times a day.
Yeah, my son goes to school in Canada, so I cross the border in the morning. I cross the border again to come back. Then when I go pick him up, I cross it 2 more times. So 4 times a day.
How many miles do you live from the border?
We're a 25-minute drive from the border.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So it's not too far, you know. I mean, 25 minutes to drop the boy off at school is no big deal. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a good school.
He's very bilingual, I'm sure, by now.
Like,
very bilingual. He is a true bilingual.
True bilingual.
A very rare thing.
Did you go to Javi wedding?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, he came out here. They've got cousins out here, actually, who live northern Vermont as well, but kind of on the other side. They come out here every once in a while. I think I'll probably see them next year when they come out for a family reunion.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was the name of the school you went to in San Fran where you met the Scavullos and the Clarks?
Well, actually, I met Josiah Clark through
Josiah.
People. Yeah, I didn't actually go to school with Josiah until later. So after I met him and knew him for a couple of years. So I went to Laurel School, and Chris Colangelo introduced me to Josiah Clark. And then later Josiah introduced me to Andrew Scavullo.
Chris Colangelo is a classic fucking guy, dude.
Yeah.
He's like a one in a million. You're like, wait a minute, where did you come from? What is your deal?
Yep.
He's still there, walking dogs. His radius is about 1 mile in all directions from his apartment.
Huh.
But I'm not there anymore, so I don't see him. But I used to always on my bike ride down to Baker.
Yeah, that kid. He's perpetually 9 years old.
Potentially.
Yeah. Or perpetually, I think is the word.
Yeah.
Yep.
Probably not his fault, though. He's got a disorder of some kind.
Well, this dude right here, right? He's carrying a 1980s boombox and is cranking out Sister Christian. He's got a hoop earring with a fucking dangling gold lightning bolt. A full-on mullet, dude. All business in the front, full-on party in the back. So I ask him.
Headband?
So I ask him, right?
Headband?
And knowing that, I go, you into that show Knight Rider? And he looks at me like I'm insane.
Stu humor.
Sometimes I gotta break it up. Hold on, Santa's gonna ask you a question.
All right, shoot.
So Quebec is the province that you drive to frequently. Have you started to explore other provinces of Canada or New England?
Well, you know, Quebec is huge.
It's huge, really huge.
We've driven around Quebec. We've gone to Ottawa, which I believe is not in Quebec. I think that's in Ontario, and it's the capital. So we've been to Ontario and to Quebec. And then around us, I've spent some time in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. Haven't made any trips out to Maine yet. Although we came to Vermont through New York, we haven't gone back to New York State since arriving. Yeah. Or I haven't anyway.
I think it's time to head over to Brooklyn.
You know what? Actually, I take it all back. That's not true. Going back to the turkeys. So I did a big tour of New York, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Massachusetts with those turkeys. So I did actually. I went to New York City.
Nice.
Went to Boston. So I did a big turkey delivery run, which
That's
took
cool.
me to all of those places. Yeah.
So. We've talked about this before. How close does Sky live to you?
7 or 8 hours.
He's
but his girlfriend, she is from outside of Montreal. So they come over here sometimes to the Montreal, side. And, I haven't really connected with him personally since I got here. He's a little bit MIA right now.
Does he still do the electric Porsche?
You know, I think that's one of the things he got rid of when he moved back to Canada. I don't think he took that with him. That was a long time ago. No, I think, he graduated from electric vehicles into those special bicycles that were gasoline driven, but
uh-huh.
they were like
uh-huh.
steamerpunk.
Okay.
With the really cool, like, custom, leather work and all that. But I don't think he brought any of those with him either. I think those got wiped out in an accident, like, all at once by a falling shipping container. And,
Huh.
Yep.
I was,
But, no, I haven't connected with him, and I look forward to it. I hope he comes out of hiding soon, and we can... can break bread or something,
Yeah, for sure.
I have a good friend.
He's way into sailing on really expensive big sailboats, racing and stuff. And his family is pretty well-to-do in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And he's talking to me about his friend who has the largest Porsche collection in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned Sky to him, and he goes, "Oh, my friend talked to him and met him." And I'm like, "Your friend met with my friend Sky?" And he goes, "Yeah, and he didn't like him. He said that guy is a piece of work." I was like,
ah! "Well, yeah, he's a piece of work.
Yeah, aren't we all a piece of work?"
Yeah, well, maybe
not
the guy
who made
came
out of Triple C that's not a piece of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're all kind of weird and quirky in our own ways, and that's a good thing.
Well, hey, thanks for being a caller on the show, David, and I'll call you later this evening.
Okay, all right, we'll talk soon. Thank you. Hey, good speaking with you, Brad Olson, a.k.a. Santosh, and Stu. Cheers.
All right, brother, have a good day.
Later.
Bye.
Aloha.
Aloha.
There goes Shinichi.
Who goes by David Templeman on your show.
Right.
I guess you should just call people what they want to be called. I mean, that's fair enough, right?
Sure, whatever, Mike.
I like my artist name, Santosh.
What about Aaron? Let's call him Aaron from now on.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
The artist formerly known as Santosh.
Prince. Well, the Stu Show's going right along. Yesterday we had live guests, Forrest and his friend Kerry, and this week, call in. Yesterday was the special edition of the Labor Day Show. This is the day after the Labor Day Show, the start of the new week. Everybody's getting back to work, back to school, getting it going on for another year.
Doing a little work over at Rosa Park, right next to the skateboard park across the street. Hey, hold on there. We got a caller on the line. Can I put you on speakerphone? All right. What's going on, Cray?
How much? Just doing some boring office work.
We like to call you Krintz. Is that cool?
Krintz goes way back. Wow, those are Santa's days. Is Santa's there?
Hey, Craig. Yeah, I'm here. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, how you doing? Good to hear you.
Hey, yeah, doing good. Just here on the Stu Show over the Labor Day weekend and the post-Labor Day show where we're taking in callers.
Nice. Did you have a nice long weekend?
I did. Yeah, I was hanging out here.
What'd you do for Labor Day, Cray? It rhymed.
I took my kids over to San Francisco. We rode the trolley. Something that us locals don't usually do, but I thought I would ingrain a memory into their skull of riding the trolley with their dad.
Our good friends, I think you know them well, too. You know Glenn, Arlens, and Sandy?
Yeah.
Glenn and Sandy, they live in San Francisco, and they're like, yeah, every once in a year, we go and do the tourist stuff, like ride the trolley. You know, dude, they do all the tourist stuff in one day, just have a ball doing it, though, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of fun to do when you live around here, you forget about stuff, and, you know, although Fisherman's Wharf is, you know,
Got super good sourdough with clam chowder in it. Yeah, I know that.
No, I didn't feel like getting sick, but there were. It was a great day. It was a great day. We took a boat. We took the ferry over from Oakland, which was fun.
I like going on the boat ride. I go from like the Marin side, you know, I come down from Rosa, but then I hop in Marin, get on that boat. Next thing you know, it comes around, you get to look at San Quentin, and you're like,
yeah,
that must suck. And you're on a boat, and they're like giving you beer and wine, whatever you want. And then the next thing you know, it comes around the corner, and it's like this, there's the city. And it just gets getting closer and closer until you can finally read the sign. It's all, welcome to the port. San Francisco.
Well, where did you guys arrive yesterday, Cray? Did you go to Fisherman's Wharf or did you go to Embarcadero and Market?
Well, we thought about stopping off at Market, but we thought we'd go to Pier 41 just because we could walk the other way, away from Fisherman's Wharf, and get into some of that beach action up there. But, anyway, so we ended up, God, what did we do? What didn't we do? It was so great. We just walked around a lot. And we walked down to the Transamerica Pyramid, had some pizza on Columbus.
What didn't we do? I'm like, hold on, you're with your sons. Let me put my cap on here, my thinking cap. Cocaine and hookers. Am I right?
Well, I did take them by the Condor, and I took a picture in front of them, in front of the Condor. I briefly explained that place has been there forever. I'm like, that place has been there forever, and it's a strip club, and you guys should know about it. And so here's a picture. So, and then
you're soon gonna be men. Better it comes from me than you guys hearing it from the wrong people.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So, and then we hopped on a trolley, which is expensive as hell, by the way. $7 per.
Wow. That did go up in price. I remember when it was like $3. We thought that was
lost.
How come it's not $1 like Muni?
Yeah. I know. It's only suckers who ride it, but I thought, you know what, let's hop on, let's enjoy, let's take a picture,
doing.
You know.
Yeah, totally, it's worth doing.
I was, was the coach for the Niners Mariucci?
Yeah, at one point.
Black-haired?
Mariucci.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Dude, they had one of those trolleys on wheels. Like, it looks like a cable car, but it's got a gas engine.
Yeah.
And I'm heading up Oak Street, like, coming up towards Haight Street, you know, going, doing the line. And the trolley pulls up, and it's all the San Francisco 49ers, like Ed Norton, all these dudes, like, crazy. And then Mariucci's in there. He jumps out of the thing at the red light, opens my car door, and just jumps into my Toyota 4Runner and just sits down. And I'm like, what's up, dude? And he's like, what's going on, man? I just want to let you know we're out here supporting our fans. And I was just like, I've got stuff in this car that you could get in trouble for. You should probably beat it. No, I didn't say that, and I wasn't thinking that. But maybe I was thinking that. But he's in my car, and then the light turns green, and he gets out and jumps back on the trolley, and I start pulling forward, and Norton, like, I don't even know, number 41 or something like that, he looks at me, and he goes, what's up, surfer dude? I'm like, what's up, football guy?
Hey, finish my beer for me.
Hey, football guy.
Oh, my God.
Hey, the season starts this Thursday. We get the Philadelphia versus the Falcons.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl, Craig? Take a wild cherry guess.
It's hard to say. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say the Niners. Go Garoppolo.
I'm going to say the Falcons.
Okay. Stu?
Yeah.
I think it's either going to be the Patriots or the Steelers.
That's a good call.
I think it's between Roethlisberger and freaking the man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, I got a question, if I can ask.
Yeah.
What is for each one of you guys, what was the funnest thing you did during the summer?
Oh, a good question.
Start with you, Mr. Ole.
Boy, I've lost my apartment in April and met my new girlfriend in early June and been on a few trips with her. And boy, to pick any one single moment would be difficult. But we did just do a week from Santa Cruz to L.A. up the 395 to Tahoe and then back 2 weeks ago. That was pretty awesome.
Nice. Sounds like a good trip.
Yeah.
I met these two super smoking hot chicks, and they bought me plane tickets to the Bahamas. Oh, wait. That wasn't this summer. Shoots!
Somehow I don't think that happened.
Yeah, well, that was loads ago. Shoots.
No.
It's part of a pre-podcast. You'll get it later if you listen to this episode.
Well, I listen to them all.
Like, funnest thing I did this summer. Y'all, if I was Santaj, I would have said, the funnest thing I did this summer was meet the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. And that was the best day of my summer. No, you kind of said, I met a girl, but the best day, I don't know. We'll get back to that later. Anyway, my best day this summer would have to be with Avery and Roseanne just hanging out with her friend's family at the Russian River, and Monica's mom, and her name's Mary. Mary and Monica, every year, there's a grip of kids that live in San Jose that have never seen nature in any way, shape, or form.
Wow.
And they take like 20 or 30 kids up to the Russian River, guys and girls. A bunch of them are on like the high school football team and this and that and the other.
Yeah.
And they go to this park right on the Russian River, and they rent camping spots adjoining each other, and everybody sets up tents. Like, there was like eight-man tents and like 10 other tents all set up around this place, and it's right on the river, and it's super fun, and we're like making s'mores and doing all that kind of stuff, and during the day just playing in the river, and it's all family fun, but that was probably my favorite part of this summer.
Ask Creighton what his best moment was.
We're going to go back at right now. Creighton, what was your most favorite part of the summer?
Well, I don't know, can't beat the Russian River, but it's on the same theme. One of the best parts of the summer was going to Georgia and jumping off a cliff into the Chattahoochee River.
Nice.
You were a hoochie mama?
I was a hoochie mama, and I saw some hoochie mamas.
Dang, doing it. How high was this cliff?
It was only like 35 feet or
something
like that.
Only? That's high. I thought you were going to say only 15, and I was like, well, that's kind of not that big of a deal.
No, it was some pretty good hang time there. It was like,
yeah, you start rolling up the windows. You're like, like once your stomach starts shooting up towards your boobs, you start rolling up those windows. You're like, yeah, this is a little farther than I thought.
Yeah, I was rolling up the windows a few times, and then you hit, you know, so it's pretty high. But, yeah, that was a fun trip. It was nice and refreshing. It sounds like your Russian River action.
What were you doing in Georgia?
I was at my half-brother's wedding. My father had another family, basically, after he had me. 20 something years later. So I could be my half brother's father.
Wow.
Technically. So he's only 26 years old. But I went to his wedding. He married a really nice girl, Hispanic girl, very nice teacher. So we all had a great time. I was lucky enough to get to hang out with them for a few days, and that's one of the things we did. But dang.
And then they showed you this river area where you guys all went swimming and canoeing.
Yeah, he had a spot that they go to, and he showed me. There was multiple levels, like how high you want to go, like if you really want to get really hairy. He's the kind of guy who does gainers off of the side. Like he'll just jump off, like with his flip flops on and a pair of shorts. He'll just rip off his shirt and go in his shorts. And
I'm pretty sure that's the same guy that was carrying that fucking 1980s boombox.
Yeah, he might have gone off with the
fucking
boombox.
Mullet.
But do you know what a gainer is?
Yes.
It's gnarly. You go off front ways, but you do a backflip. So it's kind of. Off. You got to kind of come in.
And he does it off a cliff?
Yeah, he did it off the cliff, no problem. Like, he can do those in his sleep. He has good hand-eye coordination.
Well, that's cool.
But,
how old is he?
He's like 26.
Oh, he's in his 20s. Well, yeah, any 20-year-old that's buff can do a gainer. You can do gainers back in the day, Cray.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I probably could, but I don't know if I would. That's pretty hairball.
Wasn't there like some dude, Luganus or someone who was like training in the Olympics and he did a gainer and just dunked his head on the diving board and knocked himself out?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you forgot his last name or something. So that's pretty awesome. Don't want to do that. But hey, Santosh, I was going to ask you a question about... you know a lot about Norway and Sweden and Amsterdam.
Yeah, sure.
Would you recommend one of those Viking cruises over there? Or are cruise lines or cruises for suckers?
Well, the fjords of Norway are fantastic, but you'd want to do it in the summer or one of the shoulder seasons. That's what I think a cruise would be really great for, kind of like doing the Alaska coast with a cruise.
Yeah.
Otherwise, cruises are kind of a little cheesy, you know. They get made fun of a lot in the Caribbean, especially when they pull up into Jamaica. They say, "And man, here come the newlyweds. The overfeds and the nearly deads. So cruises you want to take if it's a really cool trip where you need a ship to get like deep up into it. Norway would be one of those cases.
Yeah, I would only want to go to Norway or Alaska. I don't think I'd want to go on one of those sucker boats where, you know, you get off the boat and you spend all your money on, you know, just hats or, you know.
It's weird, but like I've been to a lot of places in my life. Like, even in the Big Island, you know, we have cruise ships that pull up and stuff. But, like, beyond even Hawaii, like, when I'm in Alaska at, like, Ketchikan, it relies on cruise ships.
Yeah.
And, like, as soon as you walk off that boat, their hands open for your money. And unless you get away from the port, you know, it's
little
awkward. And then a lot of the times they'll go somewhere cool and they're like, okay, we'll give you guys a couple hours. Like, not enough time to get out of that place. You know what I mean? And be back on the ship in time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I kind of think of it as like, it's almost like being on an airplane where they're like, you can't do that here, or you need to pay extra for that. Like, where am I allowed to smoke? Like, me and my friends want to burn a joint, and it's like, oh, there's no smoking of that here on our ship, and that whole thing, you know. It's like, I don't know, I'm kind of like, I'd rather fly somewhere and do an Airbnb in Norway and rent a boat and go up and down the thing for the same price. It's way cooler.
Maybe less.
That would be somewhere. That would be something like you want to take someone who's been there before, kind of thing. Like Santos.
If it's not going to be that many days, if you're like on a cruise, 4 days in Norway, I've heard the buffets and everything like that. Like, it's mainly like
you gain 10 pounds.
All the food you can fucking mac, and it can't be that bad. Especially if you get on one of those cruise ships where there's like a rock climbing wall and a water slide and a pool, and you know, I mean, how bad could it really be?
Right.
Well, were you thinking also just going traveling around and going to Amsterdam and a few other countries?
Well, yeah. My kids are older now, and I think they could appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got a 12-year-old and a 17-year-old, so I think they could appreciate it now. I wouldn't have to be lugging around some pain in the ass kids.
No, they can carry their own backpacks at this point.
Yeah, and they can do their thing, you know.
Starting to carry their own weight.
I don't think he knows how old they are. He means more like, we'll see you later, Dad. No, we'll see you later. We're going to go to this beach.
No, oh, well, me and Mom are going to go enough, here. They're going to want to hang out.
No.
12-year-olds don't go to a nude beach,
no.
Dude.
Of course you do.
With their dad. Are you showing it to them? At 12? Come on. They're still young.
Yeah.
No, they'll totally dig it, man. And it'll be a memory you guys will share that they'll talk about and appreciate for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, take them back to the land of your heritage, your ancestors, the Northern Europeans.
I'll tell you what, Cray, let me ask you a question. When you were 12 to 15 years old in your life, where's the coolest place you ever went out of Coronado? Because I know that place is super fucking cool.
Well, Cabo...
You went to Cabo San Lucas.
Lucky enough to go there with our dear friend Matt Cray, rest in peace. And also, you know, the Grand Canyon was pretty cool, but I was hanging out with you.
It's so funny because Matt Cray's family paid for me to fly and go to Cabo, and me and you hiked the Grand Canyon from the North Rim to the South Rim, touched the water, played in the water down at the very bottom, and hiked up to the fucking top in one day, right? And you're like this, Cabo. And I'm like, you went to Cabo? And you're like, with the praise. I'm like, did the praise pay for you?
Yeah, well, we didn't have any money. I don't know how
you got hooked up with the praise. I'm like, wait a minute, that was my gig.
Wait a minute. You bumped me a year of Cabo? I'm just kidding.
I guess. I don't know.
Yes, you did. I was like, what the fuck?
No, tell me it was in eighth grade the year my mom sent me to my fucking dad's. That's what happened.
It must have been around eighth grade. I have pictures. This looks
like
about
eighth grade.
That's what
happened. My mom sent me to my dad's in eighth grade.
Because I was getting into trouble.
Surfing too much and smoking too much pot. But
you got lucky, dude, because
that was my gig.
You son of a bitch. Well, I only went once.
Okay, ready?
Who's Amber Chesson?
Well, those were the Zony girls who flew in.
Dude, this is a... Hold on, Cray, ready? Santa's gonna laugh. Every year in Coronado, all these Arizonians that are rich come to Coronado to stay cool because it's hot as fuck in Arizona. Yeah. And so they come to our island and stay there all the time. Every year, the Zonies are coming.
Zonies.
Yeah, dude. And me and Clayton...
And you know they're rich because they can afford to come there for a whole season.
Yeah, like all summer. Yeah. Nice places and shit.
Amber and her friend were both super hot blondes, dude. Like, wax, the whole nine. It's like hot.
Yeah.
And the hotter one was Amber. But her friend was she wasn't like she had an ugly friend. Her other friend was hot.
Right.
And so Creighton hooked up on Amber and I hooked up on her friend. And we were just macking on these chicks all summer. And then, in like the middle of summer, Creighton's mom's like, "You're going to your dad's in Georgia." Where did you have to go?
No.
Georgia? Where'd you go? Georgia?
I think I went to Georgia. Yeah, I must have gone to Georgia.
Georgia,
dude,
on my mind.
Dude, it was hilarious.
Awesome. Yeah. It's super humid and not near the beach. That's just where I want to be.
These two smoking hot chicks, right? I'm already macking on this one. Then Creighton bails and leaves me the hotter one. And she doesn't know
anyone.
Yeah,
and you're rubbing your hands.
And I went like this.
Together,
I am so sorry, Sarah, but me and Amber are now a couple. And I just swooped your seconds. I fucking went, Creighton's not here anymore, dude. I'm going for Amber now. And then me and Amber were macking all summer. And Creighton comes back to Coronado to go to school. And I'm like this. You blew it, dude.
Oh.
You had no idea.
You snaked him.
Well, good for you. I think anyone would have done that.
Hey, you took Cabo from me. I took Amber from you.
If that's the way you see it, then that's what happened, I guess.
That is what happened. What are you talking about?
That's life among the Nato boys.
It happened.
Dog-eat-dog world out there. You leave a chick, another's going to swoop her.
Didn't know anyone else.
All right.
What?
I don't know. Cray obviously forgives you, so that's cool.
I'm all Creighton.
I would have done this.
Michael and Joseph, come in here.
Stop. I try not to hold a grudge because they're too heavy.
All right. Krinsk.
Have you ever gone to Lemon Hill in Coronado?
Lemon Hill, yes, that was above the where the pool was, near the tennis courts and all that
stuff. And the golf court, golf court, yeah, Glorieta.
You throw lemons at cars and have an easy getaway.
Well, tell Santaj what Lemon Hill is.
It's this weird design of a street where there's a one diagonal street that goes down, and you can overlook a street that is directly below you that is hard to go straight up because it's all, you know, vines and stuff like that. So you could sit there at the top of the hill and basically take your time and throw lemons at cars that would go by on the lower street, and they would have no idea where they came from unless they got out, looked around, and tried to figure it out. And by then you'd be gone. So it's an easy getaway. But that was one idea of fun back then.
One idea of fun, yeah. I chalk it up to youthful indiscretion. Things you don't really brag about anymore.
I'm like this. Ready? Santosh, as an adult, when was the last time someone threw a lemon at your car and it went dunk? I mean, like,
I don't think it's ever happened.
Cray.
From your hand to where it hits the car, how far is it?
Well, on that lemon hill, it was probably, you know, a good 80 feet.
80 to 100 feet.
So you got to throw it pretty far.
And it's downhill. Yeah. These things are launching, hitting people's cars like, bonk! And they're like, argh! Like, what the fuck just happened? And they'd see like a bunch of little kids and we'd be like, ah! They'd start to chase us like this. Later, dude. See, we're on the flat top. They didn't run up a hill. We're like, bye.
When you guys were growing up in sunny San Diego, I was in freezing Chicago and we did the same thing with snowballs. Especially like behind a fence in our neighborhood where we knew everywhere to go and run and hide from childhood days, like the Brer Rabbit and the Brer Patch. So we would wait until a really good car came by, like a Trans Am, and just everybody pelts it. So the guy would come peeling into our neighborhood looking for us to give chase, and we'd always know how to ditch him.
That is a rush. When somebody gets out of their car and chases you, it's a rush.
Hey, Stuart, remember
the street? It was either third or fourth that went towards the base, right? That was a one-way.
That's my house in Notto that I still own.
That was 4th Street, right?
4th Street goes out of Notto. 3rd Street comes in.
Okay, so me and Travis... I'll make this short, but me and Travis were like three.
Yeah.
Travis Pugh. We got these lemons, and we were three houses in from 4th Street, right?
Yeah.
During peak traffic.
Dude, this is like three lanes of busy traffic.
Got it.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Right. So we hurled these lemons at this VW van, and I will never forget the sound that the lemon made when it hit the door of the VW van. It was like a... And this Navy guy stopped his car on a dime, got out, and started running straight towards us. We didn't know what to do. We opened up a garage door that was not our house and went through a garage and through their backyard and through a couple other backyards with this Navy guy chasing us. And it was the biggest rush at the time. And similar to where Santos was talking about, you know, all the nooks and crannies of where to hide from people in your neighborhood. Oh, my God. But never forget that sound, though. VW van.
Thump! Bam!
I got a fucking Screech. classic, old Notto story I got to bust out real quick before you get off the horn. Freaking, this is like, we must have been like fourth or fifth grade. And around the corner, which is right by Center Beach of Brian Murphy's house, there's like these three SEAL team dudes, and these guys used to party hard, dude. Like loads of chicks. Yeah.
They were the Iron Men. They weren't trained to be in. They were the SEAL team.
Right.
And they lived in this house right by Danny's or Brian's house.
So me and Danny and Brian Murphy, we go. And we decide we're going to pick up a trash can and set it on the step that's super close to their front door. And so when we knock on the door, which has to open out, it's going to knock over this trash can full of bottles. And it's going to be super funny to these SEAL team fucking guys.
Who can run super fast and we're like, catch you guys.
We're like, you know, little kids, dude. We put the trash can up there, we ring on the doorbell, and fucking they open up the door, and the trash can falls over and spills over, and bottles are breaking, and we start running, and they just, right, like in a half of a second, just start chase, bro, like it's on. And me and Danny are like, this way! And we ran, and we go to an alley and it's a dead end, dude.
And
Danny and I are like this. There's a dumpster, and then there's like these trash cans. And we hid behind the trash cans, and we're in like the total darkness. We're in pitch black now. And me and Danny are like hunched and fucking.
Brian kept running straight, and they just kept chasing Brian, dude.
Wow.
This one dude comes back into our little dead end street.
Yeah.
And Danny's like, shh, like, don't say a word, don't say a word. Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit. And the dude comes and he's standing right at the dumpster. But then on the side of the dumpster, there's two more trash cans and us. But it's so dark, he's standing right there. We're looking at him. And he's like, fuck. Ah. And he just turns around and just walks back and starts chasing the dudes that are chasing Brian Murphy.
You're lucky you didn't have nice vision goggles.
Me and Danny are like, no, watch this shit. Me and Danny are like, eh. Dude, we run back to Brian's house. I don't know. 30 minutes goes by. An hour goes by. No Brian.
Wow.
2 hours goes by. No Brian. All of a sudden, now it's like midnight. No Brian. Wow. Now 5 hours later.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
where he went. Maybe he ran to someone else that we know's house or something. Or maybe we don't know what's going on.
He didn't come home that night.
Wow.
The next day, we didn't say anything to his mom. And she's always working. And so she had two older sons, Shannon and Michael.
Yeah.
And so she was just kind of like, it's summertime. They're not in school. Everything's cool. He probably went to Stewart's and spent the night.
Right.
And again, dude, at like 4 or 5 the next day, we're like, is Brian here? And they're like, we thought he was with you. And we're like, no.
Oh, shit.
like an hour later, because I used to kind of live at Brian's house. Just Brian fucking comes home. And we're like, dude, what happened? Where were you? And he's like, dude, they fucking kidnapped me. And brought me to their house and tied me up. And fucking made me spend the night there. And fucking fucked with him for loads.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude. Like, we fucked with the wrong group. And me and Danny got away scot-free. And Brian got fucking harassed for like a day and a half.
Wow.
Yeah,
he was tied up in a chair in a basement being interrogated.
Getting waterboarded and shit.
God.
That is funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. So fucking stupid, dumb kids, man.
Well, it's an interesting group of people that we have here on the phone because Santos and Stewart knew the guy who did that online design magazine. I was thinking about the internet.
Charles
and when
Abrams.
It was born, like opportunities that presented themselves back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
As far as the internet go, I think about this a lot. Like
we did the cover of that magazine.
That's what he's talking about. That was Charles Abrams.
The funny thing is that Santos was friends with that guy and was doing that project, and then Stewart said, do you know anyone who knows how to do computers or anything about computers? And then that Ben Thompson, came through. And it's just funny how opportunities pan out just because of a little weird chance thing.
Yeah,
I always think
right.
about it.
Who you know, exactly.
Well, that doesn't happen to you when you're in Biloxi, Mississippi, but it does when you're in San Francisco.
Yeah. In my office bedroom in the CCC.
Dude, I remember going, well, we need a piece of wood coming down. Here, grab that speaker and throw it on the scanner.
And we scanned a speaker and took the chunk of wood from that. Yeah, that was fun.
I don't know. I think about that a lot. It's a funny timing and Santosh have
something that involves that we'll just never forget. And the three of us are in Santosh's office at the CCC warehouse. and no one else is there but Sky. And Sky is walking and pacing and walking around, and you can just tell he's super bored, but he doesn't want to bother us. Like, what are you guys doing? You know? And all of a sudden, he puts a quarter into Santosh's little snack machine and turns it, and the candy bar doesn't fall down. And he's like shaking it and trying to be mellow. It's right in front of the window we're working at. And finally, the dude picks it up and goes, "Give me my thing!" And now between me and Santosh, that is like a word we say to each other to just crack each other
up. Give me my thing!
But you happened to be there that day, man. That was hilarious.
Hey. Good times.
Well, it was good talking to you guys.
Yeah, exactly. And, thanks for being on the show, Cray. And we will talk to you later this evening.
All right. Well, let's hang out soon, all three of us.
Yeah,
all right, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Aloha.
Okay, aloha. Bye, Santosh. Bye, Stuart.
See you, Cray.
Bye.
All right. Well, we've had a pretty good show. I can't say it was the best or the worst. It was an all right show. What do you say? 13-14.
It was a good show.
Oh, it was 13-14.
I can get you sleep. I think about the implications. Possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over the situation.
Don't forget about the 80s theme Howard Street Fair coming up in San Francisco. Imagination. It could be April or it could be May. Mayday, mayday, man down, SOS. We need more people at the Howard Street Fair. 80s theme this year.
Between the sheets only brings exasperation. It's time to walk the streets. Smell the desperation. At least there's pretty lights. Though there's little variation, it nullifies the night from overkill. Day after day, reappear. Night after night, my heartbeat shows.